Good morning. God's blessings and peace be to you all. Amen. In the chapters of 2 Corinthians leading up to our passage this morning, Paul has been refuting the Corinthians about their misplaced values. At the beginning of his letter, we learn that the Corinthian church is doubting Paul's authority as an apostle. You see, other self-proclaimed apostles had been coming to them proclaiming the gospel, and they were a lot more wealthy and illustrious in appearance and means. They looked better, and so the Corinthians began to doubt Paul. They began to doubt and think that maybe he isn't worthy of preaching the gospel to them, since they can't see the favor of God immediately displayed in his life. Well, Paul has been responding to this by saying, their values are misplaced. They aren't valuing things the way that God values. And so we find Paul in this morning's text appealing to the Corinthian church's focus on the physical means by also making a physical analogy. He compares human bodies to tents. And he's very blunt about this. Tents are not the most secure of dwellings. I don't know when was the last time any of you went camping, but the last time I went camping, I almost got blown away with the tent. Trust me, waking up to tornado sirens going off while camping is not a pleasant surprise. Tents are not reliable dwellings like houses are. And this is Paul's point to the Corinthians. They're relying and valuing things that are supporting their earthly bodies, their tents, that could be blown away or destroyed at any given moment. Now, I'm still young and in relatively good health, which gives my parents every excuse to laugh and make fun of me whenever I get up and complain about my knees aching. But in my 23 years of life so far, I have received 15 stitches and 4 staples from accidents and injuries I've suffered. So I have experienced some of that tent-like fragility in my own life, as I'm sure many of you have, probably in cases a lot more severe than I have as well. And I think if there's one thing to be learned about, you know, the past year of having to wear these all the time, it's that our human bodies can even be susceptible to the very air that we breathe, to just live. That alone can be a danger to our fragile bodies. And as you're considering this fragility, you're probably also now considering how fragile life itself can be and how quickly it can be lost. And this is the same realization that made the psalmist cry out, "Teach us, Lord, to number our days." And it's the same realization that Paul understands when he says that we groan in our earthly tents, longing to be clothed by something more heavenly from God. And so, how do people tend to react to life being short and fragile? Well, a common trend that I think most of us have seen and experienced would be that people tend to turn their attention to what the world can offer to make them happy. They think, life is short, so why not live it up while we can? They seek for wealth and possessions to make themselves feel comfortable in the now. Or perhaps they seek after power and authority to make themselves feel better and more important than those that they are over. Or perhaps they seek after beauty and appearance, trying to be loved and admired by others. And yet again, maybe they seek after social standing, to make a name for themselves, to have people remember them by. These people value these worldly things so greatly that they become the focal point of their short lives, hoping that they will make their lives feel more worthwhile. These people can sometimes be us, the people of God. This was the same issue that the Corinthian church was facing with their misplaced values, and sadly, nothing has changed today. No matter if any of these or other value desires are placed at the center of our lives, we will still have to face the reality of our short lives ending one day, and all that we work so hard for and strove for in this life will pass away with us. So then, Mr. First-Year Seminarian, what are we supposed to do? What exactly are we supposed to value in our lives and do with our short time in this world? Well, when addressing this problem to the Corinthian church, Paul reminds them of Christ, that if they are in Christ, even though their bodies face death, they will be bodily resurrected into new life with Christ. Yes, Paul is very clear. They will be bodily resurrected. Christians are not going to be some sort of semi-transparent spirits floating about heaven, strumming their harps, as is often portrayed in cartoons and other media. No, the body that you are currently sitting in the pew right now, that body will one day stand before your Creator. Your body that has experienced bumps, bruises, pains, aches, and ailments of all natures and varieties, that very same body will be resurrected into new life with Christ. This is our hope, the same hope that Paul encouraged the Corinthians to hold on to. And what is the foundation of this hope? It is this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is the good work of Christ, accomplished through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. As Paul said in chapter 15 of his first letter to the Corinthian church, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ first, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. But Paul is not simply reminding the Corinthians about hope. He is reminding them about this hope for the purpose of addressing those misplaced values I was mentioning. You see, Paul is showing that Paul also is showing the Corinthians what their value system should look like if they are indeed trusting in the promises of Christ. Again, as the verse 15 in our text this morning said, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. For Paul, this is what should be placed at the Corinthian church's lives. This is what should be the center focal point upon which they live their daily in and outs. Or rather, who they should be focusing their life on. Christ is the one who has accomplished this future restoration of our bodies in him. And so all he asks in return is that he be the center of our lives that he has promised to redeem. Wealth, comfort, beauty, reputation, these things can be good in moderation, but when they become the focal point upon which we live our daily lives, we let them make our decisions for us. We value our lives according to them instead of according to Christ and his will. And this is what Paul means when he says we should walk by faith and not by sight. If we are living with Christ as the center focus of our lives, then we are no longer living according to the things that we can see now, the things that we can value in this world. For we know that those things are going to pass away. But instead, we are called to live with the will and promises of Christ always at the center of our minds and our hearts, so that when we are called to give an account of our lives on Judgment Day, Christ may be the obvious good upon which we built our lives. For the kingdom of the Lord is coming, and when the Lord establishes it according to his promises, all who trust in the promises of Christ will bodily stand before God without any fear of condemnation. And so, as Paul told the Corinthian church, I tell you this morning, let us all be of good courage. Always be of good courage and let us trust in the resurrection of the Lord and live our lives by walking in faith. Do not become lost in the things of the world, for they will all pass away. Instead, judge all things with God's promise of our heavenly home in mind. There will be no more cuts, bruises, pains, or ailments then. Our earthly tents will be remade into homes that will stand firm and secure in the grace and glory of our Master Builder. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen.